Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Melanology Hour with your host, biomedical researcher, physiological psychologist, and professor, Dr. Timothy Owens Moore.
Welcome. This is the Jewel Network, where we are testifying to the gifts of life and living. We want to welcome you to the Melanology Hour. We're here today with Dr. Timothy Owens Moore. My name is Ebony. How are you today, Dr. Moore?
Greetings, Sister Ebony. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, today, January, the Gregorian calendar 2016, we are going to honor the heart and soul and the mind of a sister who just passed January 2nd. That is Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. So we dedicate the show to her legacy and her works and really her mind and how she's tried her best to change the scope of how people view human relations. So I want to make sure we get a chance to discuss Dr. Frances Cress Welsing's ideas and work, because she's been so mislabeled and mischaracterized, and I find it so amazing to speak to people who are professionals in their decades of living and have never heard of a Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. So for today, our first Melanology program for January 2016, our dedication is to her spirit. That's Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. For those that don't know, she's a psychiatrist. So as a psychiatrist, she was trained to study mental disorders. So anyone who's going to question her skill set and what she's presented to the world is questioning a professional who's done this for decades. So when I say question, what she has dealt with in the past and in her work has been white supremacy. White supremacy, she says, is racism. Racism is a worldwide problem that has created challenges for people to have decent human relations. So for her, that is Dr. Welsing, as a psychiatrist, she pretty much was trained early on at Antioch College with her BS degree, but she went on to Howard University and obtained her MD. So Howard University is a historically black college university. So in that environment, you should have an opportunity to express African-centered or black consciousness in terms of your research and your agenda. And there is where she met some challenges with people not supporting her views on this issue of race relations, white supremacy. Her theme was coming from the dynamic of a lack of melanin, not just in the skin, but also in the brain, but a lack of melanin has an impact on the way people relate to the world. She, over the years, had studied, and from what I recall, again, beautiful times I've had to spend with her, we presented at Fisk University in the early 2000s at a conference dealing with race relations. I had a beautiful opportunity to honor her at the, I think it was the 6th annual African Black Psychology Conference at Florida A&M University in November of 2015. She was there in the presence of all these people honoring and presenting on her work. So it's beautiful that we got a chance to honor her before she departed the planet. For those that don't know, there's going to be, depending upon when you hear this, it was a memorial service for her in D.C., on January 23rd, and this was attended by multiple scholars throughout the world who appreciated her energy, her spirit, her direct nature of telling it like it is to address human relation issues. Now, she's been accused of being racist because she has a melanin theory in terms of her research and her background to discuss how it is that white supremacy has flourished. Much of her research is dealing with the dynamic of how it is that non-white peoples, particularly those that are black, are always on the bottom scale as you pretty much go throughout the world. So as she's looking at this global perspective, there must be some global phenomena that's creating that. So when she was obtaining her MD degree, her parents, you know, I guess when she graduated, they asked her, so what do you want in terms of, something to support you for your obtaining your degree? She says, I want to go to Germany, Nazi Germany. I want to go see what was the mindset that can make a people want to exterminate a whole nother people. So she went to Nazi Germany to see what was going on with Hitler and that whole movement of exterminating Jews. So she wanted to understand the phenomena as a psychiatrist. So she spent her years investigating the dynamics of white supremacy. Later in the year, she had an opportunity to meet a brother named Neely Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R. Neely Fuller was a dynamic individual who was not really in the scholarly world, but he had some ideas and thoughts that he put down. And Dr. Wells, in her conversations with him, had a chance to encourage him to finish his book that he was writing called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. And it's pretty much dealing with racism or white supremacy. So he's putting down some ideas to explain this global phenomena. So she then takes it to another level. And in 1991, she put her book together called The ISIS Papers, The Keys to the Colors. Now, she wrote that in 91, published by Third World Press, but she wrote that as a compilation of her work over the years. But if you look in detail in it, she had written this Kress Theory of Color Confrontation in the early 70s. So she's been dialoguing, she's been presenting, she was at the forefront of helping black people really throughout the world combat something called racism. For her, as a psychiatrist, she looked at the racism issue as a mental disorder. Now, if you look at the context of her work, she's really trying to investigate it from a economic perspective, educational perspective, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. So from all these different dynamics, she breaks it down in the ISIS papers to explain how it is that the peoples of color are targeted for elimination by a minority white population. Now, this gets pretty deep because as a psychiatrist, she's able to now go into some of the reasons why these things are going to occur. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a biological psychologist. So for me, I study the brain and how the brain produces behavior. She's studying the mind and how is it the mind manipulates behavior to control things. So I respect her for her contributions immensely because she's at the forefront of asking some deep questions. For example, she said in the past, we need to have a meeting in Central Madison Square Garden to figure out why is that black men are scared of white men. That's a pretty interesting question to even ask. Why is she even asking like that? She was asking in the context of how is that we are fearful of protecting our communities where we can kill one another, black-on-black violence, but we're now concerned about how you address someone else that's now more adamant to what not have you survive. So as a psychiatrist, she's looked at the whole issue of fear in the mindset and how we're trained to hate one another, but not deal with the oppressor or the individual who's the one that's pretty much got their foot on your neck. So when we look at the dynamics of the different aspects of how her work pretty much has influenced the world, she's been misaligned by being characterized as a melanin theorist. When you look at the documentation or anybody who's going to be opposing her views, they're going to say she's talking about black superiority. So anybody that's in London and how it can enhance life to look at to be saying that it's talking about black superiority. She wasn't saying superiority. She was talking about the enhancement of how it has an impact on human behavior. But nobody's talking some superiority like it makes you a Superman. But that's what comes across when people are using ways to try to belittle people like Dr. Welding, Dr. Carol Barnes, or anybody that's going to be talking about melanin as a particular element that can have an enhancement on life. It's not about superiority. It's about how it is that your melanin can enhance your physical nature. Now, on the level of a psychiatrist and dealing with the mind and society, we need to look at some daily events in the world that seem to have some tinge of racial influence or white supremacist influence. If you've been listening to the media recently, in January of 2016, there are reports there in Alabama of police planting drugs on black people. Wow, planting drugs on black people, what would be the reason for that? That is to what? Ensure that you now have a criminal element. You're manipulating the whole criminal enterprise, making it look like black people are criminals, but you're planting drugs on them. I can recall being a student in the D.C. area, and I was once accosted by some so-called uncover plainclothes police officers asking me some questions with my hands on the wall, asking as if, have I seen something? What am I doing here? All I could think of was them putting drugs in my pocket, saying that was mine, and now we have a whole case criminal record. Well, that's going on in Alabama now. You just heard about it in Minnesota. You have cops that were urging drivers to run over protesters. Now, not just protesters, but Black Lives Matter protesters. This is all documented. This is all in the news. This is now the cops, police. So she's in her work has dealt with guns. And guns as symbols, and then the penis as a symbol of the same gun that the European has. So the gun and the physical nature of the gun is their protection against the biological gun that black people have to what cancel them out on a genetic level. Now she's taking this to a whole nother perspective on talking about genetic survival. She's discussed it for years. And when we look up these multiple things that happen in life in our society, we start to break down how it is, you know what, wow, there maybe is something really is going on with some people's minds. You think about right now with, if anybody plays tennis, it's the Australian Open going on right now in January. And the Australian Open is now this big story about fixing tennis matches, like people fix, boxing matches, or something could happen in sports where someone's betting on a game and they're fixing matches to what get money. Well, this is not a new story. Point is that no names are being named. Well, that's pretty much a white sport. It's not really being, handled in a manner that people are being prosecuted. Well, it's a white sport. Well, what was interesting, a few years ago, almost like maybe 2 years ago, there was a black Little League team. I don't know if you heard of the Little League team in Chicago, but they won the national championship before they went to the world championship. And they were doing very well. Well, this black Little League team, if you look at it historically, was stripped of their national championship and ridiculed in the media as if they were cheating by getting players outside the jurisdiction that the team was in. But I understand, this goes on all the time. This happens in the Little League experience. But that team was vilified, and the players, I guess they're just kids, but the parents were vilified. And now we have this, again, this different dynamic of how people are viewing sports. Right now, the Super Bowl is about to be played. Potentially, there could be a black quarterback against one of the great white quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. One of those black quarterbacks is really the MVP of the league, named Cam Newton. He's being vilified as some cocky player who, no one really likes, but he's the best in the league. Versus potentially in the Super Bowl could be Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, the epitome of what white people think a quarterback should be. But Cam Newton has taken that game to a whole other level playing quarterback. But he's vilified and not really encouraged to be as, I guess, as expressive as he could, as he liked to be. Look at this Oscar awards that's going on now and the controversy there. Here we go again with the dynamic of people protesting. Why aren't there any black nominees for the Oscar? It's big controversy right now in January, all during a time period when I'm sure Dr. Francis Scorsese Wells would be looking at this like, this is just white supremacy in effect. You got someone like Danny, the brother who played in the Selma movie, David Oyelowo. He is complaining because there have been no nominations for 2 years for people to get Oscars. And what's deep about that is he's, you know, saying this during a time period where there's a sister who's now what running the she's the president of the Academy, Cheryl Boone Isaacs. It's not a matter of blaming her, but it's looking at the people who are there looking at what is real acting. No black candidates. So he's saying that is Oyelowo that the top films at the box office are led by black performers. He says we have a situation whereby currently the biggest movie in the world and all of time, Star Wars, is led by a black man. That film was knocked off the top spot this weekend, he says, this is January, led by two black men, Ride Along 2. That's what Ice Cube and Kevin Hart. The biggest TV show on the planet is led by black people, Empire. So he keeps going on and on, talking about all these dynamics of how you have us having an influence on the media, but not being chosen for awards. What's deep about that is now you have a divided view coming from our community. So Jada Pinkett Smith's like, you need to boycott Oscars. Mm-hmm. He's saying boycott, but then you have a sister who used to be on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Will Smith saying that, no, we should be boycott. Now you got the community divided over some award that has nothing to do with us. Even though when you look at the Oscar award, that's an African symbol. Go look at Tony Browder's work. Go look at Oscar Wakwasi's work. Go look at their work, and they document how the figure that you see for the Oscar award is really an African symbol. And here we are, the ones not receiving the awards for what getting these high accolades. But in the past, for those who did get the award, you think about Halle Berry. She got the award for playing a prostitute or a hoe or somebody that was so-called not really reputable in a movie called Monsters Ball. So those of, let's say, when you denigrate yourself, you're more supported to say that, yeah, well, that's what we think of you, versus Malcolm X with Denzel Washington, versus Danny Oyelowo playing Martin Luther King in Selma. So you start to see this issue of white supremacy just creeping in, and for us to bury our head, that's why we're in trouble. You didn't look at communities. Gentrification. Gentrification is in all big cities, whether black people or the white people that have been living there have now been priced out of their neighborhoods. Gentrification is the issue of economics. And now you got the issue of immigration and brown people. Immigration is a big issue dealing with the presidential candidacy for 2016, primarily because of non-white peoples, that is brown peoples, that are trying to find a way to have a living, like the Syrians. But let's take this to another level of the penultimate disgrace, not honoring and helping people like the Haitians. That's the penultimate in disgust when we talk about the whole issue of immigration, how those individuals there in Haiti who have been struggling for years from not so much an oppressive regime there, but from a society that's created it so, as I said, a white supremacist society has created it so they can never survive. Haiti is the only empire here in this Western Hemisphere that kicked the Europeans' butt in terms of fighting for their independence. That's a spirit that caused that. From Toussaint Overture to Dessalines, that's a spirit that did that. That means that the white supremacist structure will never allow that spirit to ever rise again. So when you deal with immigration issues, Haitians are always looked at as the bad people. Why is that? When they also fought for American independence. Go read the history books and look at that and see what the Haitians did to help America get independence. If it wasn't for the Haitians, there would have been no Louisiana Purchase. Napoleon would have still been fighting. No, he got beat. So when we don't look at history right, we start to get blinded by the white supremacist view. So as a psychiatrist, she would go very, very deep into the mental manipulations, getting us to hate ourselves, and then supporting agendas that have nothing and no relevance to do with us. On the level of economics, there's a recent book, actually it's a couple years old, by Douglas Blackman called Slavery by Another Name. In the midst of that, he's explaining how the whole penal system that we see today really comes from the whole slave system. When people were released from slavery, when we say people, when the African slaves or the African prisoners were released, emancipated, however you want to call it, because when someone gives you your freedom, they can also take it away. But in 1863, mm-hmm. when we were so-called emancipated, well, what are you going to do with them? Where are they going to go? Well, black people were doing some things, something called Reconstruction. We had more black people in Congress and in the political arena than we do today back during that time period. Reconstruction was a time period people were elevating and moving forward, and you had the developments of Tulsa, Oklahoma later on in the days since. So we were doing some things, but issue where, what do we do with all these people that used to be our slaves? Well, create the black codes, create some dynamics where we can now imprison them. They don't have a job, get them for vagrancy. So basically the white guy, Douglas Blackman, is writing this book to explain how the system transferred over to how we have now this largest prison industrial complex on the planet. These things don't happen by chance. So Dr. Wellesley would be explaining to us how on a grand scheme, this is planned. Not a matter of being a conspiratorial theorist. It's a matter of looking at the data. Drugs, the whole cultural environment that allows opportunities for some who have none. You now feed that. You saw that movie called American Gangster. Denzel Washington played the brother who was in the military who now was able to get the drugs via the corpse in the coffins and bring them to America. You going to say America knew nothing about that? FBI, CIA, no one knew anything. DEA knew nothing. Come on, we've got to be blind to believe that was going on. So he was a part of that whole economic culture that messed within our communities. And we then fast forward beyond the American Gangster to the Iran-Contra affair. It's very interesting because during the Reagan years, you know, he and Oliver North, Bushes and all that, they were creating an environment that was bringing drugs into the community in order for them to get weapons for them to feed and have the, the military regimes they want in power to maintain. And there's a recent movie called Kill the Messenger. Go check that out, Kill the Messenger, which explains a reporter in D.C. who broke – now, actually, he's from San Diego. And the movie's from San Diego, California. San Diego Mercury, the news. They put out this little report, and, wow, it went viral. It wasn't even viral back then. Back in that day, it wasn't any issue with the Internet and all that. It was Internet, but it wasn't like, you know, things they say today go viral. Well, it went viral. And in the movie, they kind of explained it how this guy was looked at as a nutcase. Oh, he's got to be crazy talking about this stuff. But he was talking about the truth. So the Kill the Messenger is about canceling out those who view this whole drug culture as, really a plan to kind of destroy the community. Education. Beyond economics, look at education. People aren't. Kids aren't being educated in school. If so, they'd be interested and they'd be learning. It's a school-to-prison pipeline. Devastating. We have lack of support for education. Why? Because if people are educated, change the whole mindset of the people. Well, those who want to be in power, they want the mindset to be changed. They want to stay in control. And powerful people, as Dr. Jeremy Clark used to always tell us, powerful people never teach powerless people how to take their power away from them. So in the context of a psychiatrist viewing this, she's looking at education and how that is manipulated so that we will always be, in a state of complacency. Entertainment, we just talked about that, the Oscar Awards, but look at all the distorted movies that are out there. Exodus, in the past, Stargate, the roll call is there. You go all the way back to Ten Commandments, how people are looking at the images. and then being confused about what the images are presenting and thinking that, hey, well, maybe there aren't any black people, especially in Africa. The distorted movie images have us has our minds manipulated to think that we've never contributed anything. Even on the level of the movies, she's also been, I guess, utilized by some of the, not just the hip-hop generation, but some of the movie directors for her ideas in the movies. I think like the movie Baby Boy, which was done by John Singleton. You think about Public Enemy and their whole album, Fear of a Black Planet, that's all dealing with her work. So in her contributions, she's been able to have an impact on the media. She's been able to have an influence on black consciousness, and that is the source of how we're going to get out of this state of mind.
Yeah.
The labor issue. Yeah. You want me to take a break here? You want me to keep on with the her approach, how she addresses some of these issues?
Well, yes. You know, I actually have a question on that, and maybe I can ask you the question once we return back from the break.
Okay. Yes, that'll be fine.
All right. All right. So we'll let our sponsors speak for a second. We thank you again, Dr. Moore.
No problem.
100 years ago, it was not conceivable that we could control all forms of matter with our thoughts. Hi, I'm Dr. Jewel, and I know that sounds incredible, and together we can explore this and many more incredible scientific realities through my latest book, Straight from the Heart. It's an exciting outpouring of information that you will read and explore over and over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy of Straight from the Heart today at www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Welcome back to the Jewel Network, where we are justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. My name is Ebony. We are here with Dr. Timothy Owens Moore. And Dr. Moore, you're speaking today on the wonderful master teacher, Francis Cress Welsing. And now you just spoke on her contribution to the media. And so my question for you is, you know, after watching movies like Baby Boy and hearing the Public Enemy album, Fear of a Black Planet, I mean, it all being a birth and inspired from her Cress theory and essays, I heard you say that is the key to next generations to actually break free of these illusions and this white supremacy. And I guess evolutionary art in her behalf.
Well, I think the dynamic of me saying earlier that I know of educated PhD, MD, law, people who've never heard of Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. And that could be from any side of the planet. It's just odd here in the United States because dealing with people who are so-called educated and have access to education, access to the media, access to the internet, and to have never heard of her name. It's kind of amazing to me. So in the context of having artists like John Singleton or the crew of Public Enemy, primary, like you think about Professor Griff, the conscious element of Public Enemy that's no longer with them, there's certain people that know her work, therefore can not so much exploit or utilize her, but can expand people's knowledge off of what she's saying. Because what she's saying is provocative. If she's talking about this issue of genetic survival, she's really saying that there's genetically defective descendants called albinos, mutants. And for her controversy is that she's saying that they were people who were forcefully removed from Africa because of the mutation. They stayed to themselves over the years, and they then became the white people that are controlling the planet now. I've written The Science of Melanin, and I have a critique of the black literature on melanin, so I don't necessarily agree with that component of them being ostracized and now they develop into who they are today. But the point is, for her, in her provocative thoughts, she makes you think about, wow, could that have happened? So you didn't have the media and the artists that are able to now give you a different spin, different spiel on things. If you look at the whole concept of religion, how she even talks about that. How is it that we are now in a world where we're in 2016 and we still have the concept of the white Jesus, so pale-skinned, long-haired, blue-eyed Jesus in 2016? When that place of the world was not Europe, where that individual came from. So we're now in 2016 still in that predicament of trying to understand the impact of religion and how it has influenced our minds. We now have the big debate between what? Christianity and Islam. They're both religions that deal with, well, one of them deals with peace, that is Islam. Christianity deals with the words professed by Jesus, and he didn't call himself a Christian. You know, he was a Hebrew. He didn't call himself a Christian. The naming of Christians came in 2012 in the Council of Antioch. So we start studying history, you start looking at religion and seeing how it's been manipulated to control minds. So as a psychiatrist, she's now dealing with kids. She's seeing it in the offices, in our practice. She's seeing the kids who don't know how to, you know, get through the world because they're manipulated by the signs without any good parental care around. They then get manipulated. So you now have artists that use her work and can kind of feed it in to certain, you know, certain kind of messages, but it's just not enough. She was on Hidden Colors. It's just not enough. We don't have enough presence of our work. That's why the Melanology Hour and what Sister Jewel Pookum has created is something so important, as it's stated in the intro, about enlightenment. You know, I wrote also Dark Matter, Dark Secrets. I talk about endarkenment. So I like the fact that with Sister Welsing, she was doing her best to try and darken our minds on the concepts that relate to us as a people. It wasn't a matter of talking about black superiority. She was trying to break down, as we already stated, in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, how everything impacts our development and our movement forward. So before we took the break, I was saying about the labor issue and talking about, you know, the issue about jobs. You know, the reason why there's no jobs is because they've been sent abroad. You know, the school system, you know, creates people to not really be thinkers, but to just do. You know, the whole system was teach you to go to a conveyor belt and you screw this cap on, or you pluck this bird, or you just do something that's menial. So the educational system was not prepared for people to think, and it's still not prepared for people to think. So in labor, you now have jobs sent abroad. Why? Because it's cheap labor elsewhere. It now comes back here, and now it's come back here as a product and commodity to sell, but nobody made any money here off of a salary to make that. That's labor dynamics that is impacted by white supremacy. It's all about control. So black people don't have access because they don't have the opportunities. Therefore, they're looked at as the bad people. Look at law. Supreme Court, the current president, Obama, has put in, I believe, two women in Supreme Court justice. If you ever go to look at the State of the Union addresses, you find it very interesting that one of the only people that never shows up is a black man named Clarence Thomas.
Okay.
You have a man of color as the president, and then you have a black man who's on the so-called Supreme Court that doesn't even come. Well, he's a black man who doesn't support a lot of issues dealing with black consciousness. Even though this individual went to Holy Cross as a student and had, they say, Malcolm X on his wall, but he came out, married a white woman, and for his perspective, he's not really focused on black consciousness. And the fact that he doesn't go to the State of the Union says a whole lot about his non-support of black issues, if he doesn't want to support a black president. That's a law. You have Leon Higginbotham in the past, a little book called In the Matter of Color. Bruce Wright wrote Black Rules, White Justice. The list goes on and on how the legal system has been really targeting people of color for what? A commodity. So you now have the law involved in this decision, this disruptive state of affairs. Politics. look at the whole dynamic of the GOP, or the Grand Old Party, or Republicanism, and their views, and how everybody's all hyped on this guy named Donald Trump, whoever he is. So Donald Trump becomes what? The figurehead, the speaker for what? White views against what? Obama. Well, not just Obama, but a so-called liberal socialist, however they want to label him, president. And now you have a Sanders, Bernie Sanders running for president. Bernie Sanders is trying his best to reach the black community. He's from Vermont. Not saying anything bad about that, because you had a guy named John Brown who fought for black independence, black freedom. Not just fought, died for it back in the day. You heard of John Brown of Harper's Ferry as a white man who died for African freedom. So nobody's saying anything wrong with Bernie Sanders being from Vermont. It's just the reality of he's now trying his best to reach the black community, and, hey, he might be able to do that. But look what the powers that be tried to present on the other side, Ben Carson, someone with an MD who supposedly knows about politics. We've now seen how much of that has been a joke. He's been like a reincarnation of a Herman Cain. But the dynamics of this is white supremacy in effect. How can we find another black man to beat that black man? And then the issue of sex and war, last two components as we conclude. Sex, you heard of Serena Williams as a tennis player, not just a tennis player, the best tennis player in the world.
Yeah.
We could also look at in the history of women's tennis, Serena Williams, and look at the look at the nature of the beast attacking her. It's always sexual. It's always, I mean, she puts herself out there like that while she, you know, wears her skimpy clad clothing and does certain things and, you know, taking pictures. But in general, they talk negative about her body, about her female black body. This goes back to history. Think about Venus of Hottentot, Saji Barton. Was exploited from South Africa because of her large derriere, which African women have. But the white man in the media exploits that as if that's something negative and bad, and we then are ashamed of our physical appearance, but they exploit Serena Williams on that level, where they're not talking about how she is a superior tennis player. Everybody's butt is dominant, but they focus on her sexuality and her sex. Think about this whole issue of, I talked earlier about the Oscars and Halle Berry, a beautiful woman, but here she now gets what? An Oscar for serving as a whatever she did in Monsters Ball. And this whole issue, you know, about drugs and sex. I saw a story that about up in Maine recently, this past December, January, how heroin is an epidemic now in the white communities. It's dying of heroin overdoses, communities disrupted in the white community, like Cape Cod, Massachusetts, like up in Maine. And you had a political figure, I don't know if he was the mayor of a city there in Maine, I don't think it was the governor, but if you do the research, he was making comments about the hypersexual black males and how they coming up here with these names that relate to black names, and they're hypersexual and they're bringing the drugs and then they're making babies and leaving. What? Where are you coming from with this? But looking at it as like, black people causing the problems in the white people's communities with the drug problem now. So this whole heroin epidemic now, which is big, been a problem for a while, but now that white people are being impacted by it, now it's a problem. So this issue of sex, drugs, now you move. Look at war. The Wellesley would look at the whole dynamic of how war is always against what? Nations of color. When you say not all wars, I mean, we're just dealing with the dynamic of American society, or this, I guess, government being a permanent war complex, and that's how they make money off of wars. The place they go attack are primarily where people of color are. And this last scenario with Libya has created all this, I guess really has stimulated, along with Iraq, all the problems we're now dealing with this group called ISIS, or ISIL, this Islamic State. It all came from America going somewhere else, exploiting, killing, and dismantling other governments. And now you have all the roaches and ants and the debris and everything just flourishes out and goes elsewhere. And now you have problems throughout the world. War. So being that this is a permanent war complex, the places that are usually attacked are those places that are primarily what of color. And that's why Dr. Welsing, in her work, you got to read the ISIS papers. People who never heard of her, she's giving us the keys to the colors to explain all the things I just said that are recent in history. We can go, and as we've done, continually back in history, seeing these things. And if we bury our head in the ground like an ostrich, we deserve to be continually excluded because we're not breaking down what the sister tried to do. You know, her and Neelie Kapur, you know, they break it down every time they talk about racism. It says, if you do not understand what racism or white supremacy is, everything else you do understand will only confuse you. That's why it's important on the Melanology Hour for us to express in an open viewpoint that it's not about talking superiority. It's not talking about dominance. Talking about sharing a view that makes people open to see another perspective. White people cannot have the only lock on knowledge. Black people don't have the only lock on knowledge. It's a matter of how we look at the origins of things. Once you go to the origins, oh, you have a better perspective. So as her soul rests in peace, I give her nothing but props for leading me into an understanding of the issue of melanin. As a psychiatrist, she broke it down from her viewpoint. As a biological psychologist, I'm breaking it down from my viewpoint. The point is, it's a viewpoint you're not going to hear from people that are non-melanated. They might not even understand the experience. So just in terms of looking at her and her spirit, we should never let what she's contributed die out. If anything, we have to have a continual expression of what it is that is attacking us as a community. Sure, we can make a better world.
Yes. Dr. Moore.
Yes. I read the ISIS papers, and, you know, once I got to the end of the book, A Liberating Black People's Prayer, the prayer that she wrote, it just, it changed my life. And I have it here with me. Do you mind me sharing?
Oh, completely. Go ahead.
Okay. It says, A Liberating Black People's Prayer for Justice and Peace, to say and envision when in prayer. Thou who art blacker than a trillion midnights, whose eyes shine brighter than a billion suns. Thou whose hair doth coil tighter than a million springs, radiating all energy throughout the universe. We beseech thee, one and only one, to give us total strength to carry out thy will for the universe, to establish justice on planet Earth and live in peace. Dr. Frances Quest Welsing.
You know, like for the 100.
Every time I read it, I instantly begin to envision the Creator possessing not only melanin-dominated features, but everything under the scope of light, you know, just being melanin-dominated. And it brought me back to a chapter, and you had just spoke on it, about how she was kind of teaching us on religions and the limitations that they subconsciously create in our minds. And so it's just interesting. I love the book, The ISIS Papers, and it really explains the patterns of perceptions and all of the imprints that have been, you know, impressed into us as a people and even broader, you know, than just our people. So it's been a blessing to be here with you today to honor Dr. Frances Quest Welsing. I guess my question now for you, Dr. Moore, is, you know, just last April in Baltimore was the Baltimore riots after they had arrested Freddie Gray. And I'm from Maryland myself. And to experience that and to have read her book and, you know, you just see different things happening now. And living through it as a millennial, and it's like, well, what can we do? Not what can we do? We have no limitation, but more of, you know, I heard a lecture she spoke on. She was suggesting that the melanin-dominated brothers gather and declare that they are afraid of melanin recessive men. And I think that it goes together. You know, I think us as a people, we need to gather and actually create solutions to now meet half and half with the work that she's already brought forth.
Yes. I mean, I'm reminded of a quote by Lerone Bennett in the past, where he said that he who controls minds controls images. Mm-hmm. He who controls the images has little or nothing to fear of the people. So right now, mm-hmm. when we watch the media and see the media and look at the internet and see the, many people don't read the newspapers anymore, but the media images don't have us at the forefront of doing something positive. So mm-hmm. until we control that image, and until we then are in the perspective of what Dr. Wilson said, gathering to deal with these issues, we're not going to win. That's why we're, mm-hmm. I mean, she talked about the whole dynamic of raising families and when we should raise families and when we should have children, because people need to be prepared. I teach at a university setting where I know people are wanting to and are having children in time periods where they're not prepared. You'll never be able to win when you can't take care of the next generation. And so when people read the ISIS papers, again, if you've never heard of her, you now have a chance to read her work, even though she's now gone, but her work still stands. She deals with multiple aspects of society, from the guns to the games to the whole issue of holidays, homosexuality, and the impact on the community. I mean, the neurochemical basis of evil, paper, money, gold. She's dealing with everything. I got 25 chapters in the version I have. I don't actually have the prayer that you said in my version, but guess what? She's been, and you can go look at her name and Google it and see her presentations that she's done throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I'm just encouraging people, again, study, understand why we're fearful of things that we don't know we're fearful of. There's a reason mm-hmm. why. We've been trained to be scared of ourselves. But once we start loving and appreciating ourselves, and much of that has to do with our melanin, because people are trying to get away from their melanin, trying to lighten the skin, trying to be something other than they are. And when you start running from yourself, you look in the mirror, there's nowhere else to run. You're in trouble. So we have to put ourselves in positions to understand that she fought for our survival. She wasn't dealing with disseminating ways to get rid of somebody else. She was just talking about black survival. And we're in a crisis state right now in 2016, especially with the departure of Obama coming in this year.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Moore, last March, Dr. Francis was at Howard University for their women's mm-hmm. conference, and she had left us with a message. And I have it here with me. It says, "Listen up, mm-hmm. black people. Play with sex and make a slave or a criminal for the system of racism, white supremacy. All black children need mature and married mothers and fathers for their maximal development in the system of racism, white supremacy. Help build the new black nation in the 21st century."
That sounds like real talk to me.
Yes. I know you were just speaking on parenting and us gathering and, you know, just alternative routes to completely other than war, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
well, as she has done, mm-hmm. yeah, I was going to say, as she has done throughout her career, and she's done up until the day she departed this planet, you know, she was just trying to get the black family to think about the black family first and making the proper decisions. I mean, there were certain controversies people had about her saying, don't have a child till you're like 30 and beyond. Why? Because you're not in a position to take care of anything till you're 30 and behind when you deal with the economics and the family upbringing. People criticize mm-hmm. that, saying that, well, you know, you're fertile before you're 30, so you'd be having the babies then. But her whole premise was about us as a people taking care of ourselves. And in the midst of really closing down, as we then close this honoring of her work, I'm reminded of a word in quote by Maulana Karenga, who was mm-hmm. very adamant about us as a people to kind of, rectify our position. But he said, something related to what we're talking about here. The white man is guilty for what we are not. We are responsible for what we ought to be. That's why it comes down to it's on us, the melanated people, mm-hmm. to really make an impact and change the world. Not talking superiority, not talking like we mm-hmm. have the only answers, but it's going to start from us within to make a change. If we're at the top mm-hmm. of the game, from presidential politics to sports, we just talk about all these things, Obama to Serena Williams to the football, oh, Cam Newton, we can rise to the occasion in any capacity. That's a threat to somebody. That's a threat to others who fear you. We need to get beyond that. It's not a matter of being threatful and being bombastic. It's not about being appreciative of what you can offer the world. And those who don't appreciate it, we don't deal with them. Those who appreciate mm-hmm. your contributions, you work with them. So mm-hmm. on the Melanology Act, throughout the year, we will be focusing on concepts related to humans developing to a higher level of consciousness, period. No superiority, no inferiority. Humans developing to a higher level of consciousness, period. All praise is due to Sister Frances Cress Wells.
Yes. Well, Dr. Moore, we want to... Yes, go ahead.
So in our conclusion, again, it's the spirit of her her black afro that turned to gray in the latter years. She had 100 power fists standing up on her black afro telling us to wake up. So at this stage of the game of January and the memorial being presented in her honor, let us again maintain her spirit and her vibe and make sure we can reach the world with what she was trying to say when she was physically here.
Yes. It was an honor to be here with you today and just to go back and to look over Dr. Frances Cress Wilson's work. And we're so appreciative of her contribution as well as yours. And so thank you. And we will see you the third Wednesday from now. For Melanology
yes.
Hour, we are so excited that you are back. If you have any other words you would like to leave, we'll close the show out here and let our sponsors go ahead and make an announcement.
Well, I would just conclude on the words of Dr. Welsing. Again, in order to make a change in this world, we've got to understand what is this making an impact on our minds, and that's racism, white supremacy. Let's not have that as our main focus in our lives to just deal with that, but let's appreciate our melanin and let's focus on moving forward in the future.
Ashe.
Peace.
Ashe. Peace.
You're listening to The Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.com.
And welcome back to the Melanology Hour. My name is Ebony, and we just heard from Dr. Timothy Owens Moore, again speaking on Dr. Frances Cress Wilson. We here at the Jewel Network, we are justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, and come back and visit us tomorrow. Thursday is Music for the Mind of the Scientist. Friday is the Best of the Jewel Network. Monday, Dr. Jewel is back with the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program. On Tuesdays is Dean Nurse Sharon Cole, and she's back with Hygiene for Humanity. Wednesday, Dr. Jewel will be back for the Dr. Jewel Show. So we hope that you enjoy your creation. We love you. And just definitely keep Dr. Frances in mind. Go do some research on her. And we love you.
information and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.